Hello and welcome to Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast. This is a show that explores the landscape of the nonprofit organizations, big and small, offers some incredibly helpful information and resources, gives nonprofits a place to share ideas, and get advice on how to solve the problems that might be plaguing your nonprofit. I'm your host, Joe Turner from Soucup Strategic Solutions, which offers a wide variety of services to help nonprofits maximize their impact. Today's show, I promise you, it is going to be exceptional. The reason I can say that, we have one of the best in the business. Dr. Lou Traina is our guest. Dr. Traina has served in public and private nonprofit enterprises for more than 27 years. He's an expert in the field of major gifts. He has led several major gift campaigns for Florida Southwestern State College, Hodges University, the Diocese of Venice, and his passion for fundraising serves as a vehicle for enhancing the presence of nonprofits and allowing organizations to achieve their missions. In addition to his fundraising expertise, he is an experienced administrator, effective community leader, and I've known him a long, long time. Holding a doctorate in education from Columbia University, I have to welcome my good friend, Dr. Lou Traina. Lou, thank you so much for joining us today.
Joe, it's really nice being here, and I thank you for that really nice introduction. A little bit over the top.
This is a heavy topic, and I know a lot of our listeners are just going to be riveted by this entire discussion. Let's get right into it. Today, we're talking about the case statement. Kick it off by saying, what is a case statement?
Joe, a case statement describes a problem or issue the nonprofit organization is trying to solve on behalf of the community, but can also be, you know, beyond the community, could be statewide, or it could be a normative national condition that the case statement is addressing. And it needs to be compelling, and it needs to be able to tell families, individuals, foundations that are considering supporting the organization that there's sufficient evidence that a problem does exist and they have a solution to providing a service that really targets that problem, is addressing that problem that they're looking to solve.
So it's not like a mission or a vision statement. This is something that can change over time and maybe even weekly. But what causes the case statement to change?
I think the one area that what I've seen over the years, what's missing, I think a lot of times in the case statements is the problem statement. Any research that you do, whether it's qualitative or quantitative research, you always start with a problem statement. And you want to make sure that the problem statement has evidence that supports the statement from really good sources. Problem statement is essentially the nucleus. It's the essential statement that really drives the case statement. And so the evidence that supports the problem statement could change. The economy is changing. The demographics are changing. Fundraising is changing in terms of ways of giving is changing. The population you're serving is changing, the numbers are changing. So the problem statement will continue to change because the evidence is changing that supports the problem statement.
Right. So the problem statement basically is, you said, I like the word nucleus. This is what our nonprofit is addressing.
Absolutely. Okay. Couldn't have said it better. And yet it's something that is often overlooked. So if you were to ask, for an example, any nonprofit organization, if you were to go to their board of directors, and then you were to ask them, you know, what problem are you addressing? You wouldn't be surprised to get a lot of different answers. Mm. And the same thing even with the operational staff. So folks really need to understand the actual problem that the organization is addressing. And again, making sure that there's evidence that supports that problem statement. And the reason for that, if you're looking to create something that you can't see, whether it's a facility or whether it's a logic model plan for growth and so forth, you have to make sure you have the evidence that supports that plan. And because your donors are going to say, well, where's the evidence? Show me the evidence. And how much money do you need? Why do you need the money? Where's the evidence that supports what the problem you're addressing?
Yeah.
And you have to have the answer to that. So the evidence to the problem statement is very important. I've always said, if faith is something you can't see, but the evidence is there. And in fundraising, typically major gifts, just about every major gift that I've ever brought in required a lot of faith. It was something that you couldn't see, whether it's brick and mortar, a facility, or whether it's a new operation, a new program that you're creating. you have to make sure you've got plenty of evidence there to show that with funds coming in, you're going to be successful reaching that because the evidence is there supporting it. So the evidence has to support the problem statement.
So would you say that the best way to attract new donors is to have a well-written case statement?
Absolutely. And the case statement can be written for a specific project or a specific campaign.
This is such great information, Dr. Trena. We're going to take a quick little pause here so folks can catch their breath, maybe refresh their coffee, and of course, most importantly, change pages because I know folks are taking a bunch of notes. You are listening to Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast. Welcome back to Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Turner. We are talking with Dr. Lou Trena all about the case statement and how vitally important a case statement might be for your nonprofit. So what should the case statement tell the prospective donor?
It should tell them that their funds, their money that they're giving you, with the proper evidence that you're supporting, with that investment they're making in your organization, that you're going to have outcomes that will impact the problem that this organization is addressing with that particular initiative or program that they're raising money for, or facility they're raising money for. Mm-hmm. Donors want to make sure that their money is properly invested. They want to really make sure what the money is going to do and what problems it's going to address. What is it going to fix? And allows you to do that.
I think now the next question's got to be, who should write the case statement? This is a tough document to write.
Well, that's a great question. I think you just need a really good writer, somebody like yourself, Joe, who could take all of this and really, you know, articulate a very, very compelling message. I believe very strongly in video. And once you have this case statement done, it's powerful. You want to make sure you follow up with a strong video presentation on the case. So it's very powerful.
All of the nonprofits who are listening to us right now are thinking to themselves, we don't have a case statement. We have to have a case statement. Is a case statement something that is for a special, like a capital campaign, or is it something that you can have that just describes what your mission is and what your nonprofit does?
It's often assumed that you only use case statements for a specific project or campaign. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I would strongly recommend that every organization go through this because the organization, I think every organization needs to have a case statement. And I think folks want to know, what problems are you solving? What are you really solving?
What I'd like you to do at this point is give us some do's and don'ts when it comes to a case statement.
Problem statement, evidence that supports it, strong introduction, background on the organization, why they're doing what they're doing. Definitely the outcomes in terms of what can be expected with the support of a donor or support of a foundation. And I think as you get into campaigns, you can also put opportunities for giving what those opportunities would present. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to work in a vacuum. And I really do like your question, Joe. You really want to be able to test the case statement with others that are out there. And there's no reason why you can't do that without having to have a campaign. You can work internally with your senior leadership teams, with your board of directors, with committees, and even going out in the community with interviews, not interviews, but meetings you're having with your donor population. You can talk about the problem statement that you're addressing, the evidence that supports it, and just get feedback from your donors. But clearly, I love the idea of testing the case statement, maybe working with your leadership to come up with the problem statement, the evidence, and then writing it up and then testing it, whether it be in a campaign with a campaign study or whether it just be done internally. You know, for example, we did a study recently, and this had to do with affordable housing. And the problem statement was we're providing affordable housing for folks that are living in deplorable conditions, hard conditions, and allowing them to be able to have a real home. You know, and there's I thought it was a very powerful case statement, but the feedback came back saying it's not going far enough. It needs to be more about emancipation, saving lives than about, you know, giving someone a home. And so that was a really powerful messages coming back that said, you know, we can make this thing even stronger. And is there evidence to show that we can potentially emancipate a population of people with affordable housing? Absolutely. The evidence is there. So now when you talk to your donors about, you know, what their money is going to do, it's not just about affordable housing. Now it's about emancipation, providing an opportunity for these children that without this help, without a home, wouldn't be able, you know, would have so much more difficulty to be able to have a, healthy and meaningful life.
You keep talking about testing. You're going to test the case, What are you referring to? Can you get a little more specific for our audience?
Well, if you're talking about actually doing a qualitative field study, there are questions that you have. And let's say the question has to do with the problem statement as an example. Again, wanting their feedback on it. It's important that you advocate. It's important that you use skills of reflection back to them, making sure you're clear on the message they're giving back to you, making sure that you heard the individual correctly. So really, it's strong listening skills, and it's also asking questions that allow a deeper understanding of the answer that you're getting, and it's more about really understanding. Not so much what is the problem statement. I mean, you can get that on a survey. It's more about understanding why, how, and what if. And the whys and what if and how questions are the kinds of things you can only do in qualitative research as opposed to, you know, quantitative research or surveys. You do have to have those interview skills to be able to do some probing and in order to get really good information back. Is there a story you can tell that helps me understand what you mean by that statement, to help illustrate what that statement means, why you believe so strongly about this? Is there a story that helps illustrate that? Those are the kinds of questions you ask that really give you a great understanding of, if you're testing the problem statement, you know, how is this problem statement really a powerful problem statement? It needs to be powerful. I mean, the case statement needs to be powerful. You know, if you do the analytics, it'll be a powerful database now that can give us a lot of really good information about our donor base and our prospect base. And if we just use analytics to project out what you could raise, for an example, it's really only going to give you half of the equation. If you have a weak board, and if you have a board that doesn't have a powerful case for support, and if you don't have a really understanding of that, the results of that database in terms of the way donors want to give and how they give and why they give, it's not going to go as far as another organization that may not have that database, may not have the history, but they have a very passionate board that's engaged and a powerful case for support. And they're that organization, that young one, without that strong database, is the one that's going to be more successful. I truly believe that. And so it's kind of interesting because the power of a board that's passionate and the case for support that's so compelling with evidence goes such a long way that it can overcome not having the perfect database of donors and the perfect years of experience that charities have. It can overcome a lot. And so I always like looking at doing the empirical piece, the analytical research, and I always like doing the qualitative field research. And I always like comparing those two worlds. Mm-hmm. And usually somewhere in the middle of those two worlds is where you need to be. And that's originality. But a lot of times there's usually a gap between the analytics and the qualitative research. And I've always been fascinated by that. And typically when I work with charities, I look at that gap. And I can figure out an innovative way in which they can move forward that will allow them to be successful.
This is just amazing information, Dr. Trina. I mean, we could talk a couple hours on this, and I hope that our listeners are taking careful notes. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can certainly email me, lou.trina@sukupstrategicsolutions.com.
I'm hoping that those who are listening are going to now start thinking about their case. Either A, they have one and it's not that great, or B, they don't have one and they probably should think about writing one. And then we come back in a few weeks and say, okay, now let's take a look at what you got in there and what you don't have. And I really think that that's some helpful information. Can't thank you enough.
That's great being here, Joe. Thank you.
If you'd like to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, we appreciate that. Sign up for our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you on another episode of Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast.